Reading FC turned up to pour misery on Barnsley as the Royals' relegation rivals conceded a late Josh Lawen equaliser at Oakwell on Saturday, keeping the Royals 5 points clear of the drop zone and delivering a vital sucker punch with just 7 games left of the season to the team sitting below the dotted line. I'm your host, Mark Mayer, back in the hot seat for the Tarless Den podcast, the Reading FC podcast by fans, for fans, for episode 295. And I'm delighted to be joined by the man who helms episodes 293 and 94 in Ollie Allen. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be in the hot seat the last 2 weeks. But I'm sure once again, as it was last week, that the whole tone of the show essentially changes on one late Josh Lawen goal, for which I'm very pleased. So yeah, very good, thank you.
Yeah, no, definitely needed for myself as well. To that international break preparedness, went and did my international podcast for the Cayman Islands or something. I don't know what nationality I'm going to claim, but there we go. It's a nice little break. So thanks for doing that. And yeah, in for the running now. We'll get into that 1-1 draw at Barnsley in just a second. Before we do, big thanks as always to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our Patreon subscribers. And well, then, it's a 1-1 draw to get into. We've got a game tomorrow as well, so plenty to talk about on this week's show. Let's get into the recap.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
So a draw at Barnsley isn't usually the sort of thing that Reading fans have all the hashtag scenes and the limbs out for. But Ollie, we are in a weird situation this season. It's the end of the season with the relegation fight that we are in. Once again, we have Barnsley chopping at our heels towards this stage of the season. I think it was almost a year to the day, or certainly it was the 39th game of the season that we played Barnsley last season for a place in the playoffs. This time it was a relegation battle. Fortunately, that 1-1 draw was basically in Reading's favour. And I suppose we'll get into what happened in the second half in a bit, but start to do it chronologically and start with how it went. A very early goal for Barnsley, about 5 minutes in, they took the lead. Reading probably should have had a penalty maybe around it, but ultimately just disappointing to find ourselves in this position again. Decent shot, bit of a defensive error to let it in, and giving ourselves everything to do.
Yeah, I think the penalty, I think for me, the penalty would perhaps have been a little bit soft. I think it's one of those that if it goes against you, then you know you're sort of crying for dodgy refereeing, and if it goes for you, then you kindly take it. I think probably in real time it looked as if it was a foul, but I think when you look at it sort of slowed down, and I know everything looks worse slowed down, but I think sort of when you look at it a little bit closer, it's almost as if Lucas Joao is waiting for that contact and sort of forces himself to the ground. So I think it would have been a little bit soft, but it seems to be a theme now that Reading sort of give themselves a lot of work to do. You know, it was very similar to the 1-1 draw against Bournemouth, really, where we concede early on and then actually probably just, you know, get better as the game goes on. It's obviously frustrating to find ourselves 1-0 down in the first place. And but I think, you know, to have that character to be able to fight back is something we have been sort of asking for, and it's something we have seen in the last few games now. Bournemouth, Blackburn, and now this Barnsley game. You know, all, you know, getting late goals later. Getting goals late on. You know, where maybe earlier in the season under Veljko Panovic, certainly sort of in that horrid run in January and February, when Reading went a goal down, and you probably didn't really give them much hope of getting something from a game. And certainly if you were going into a game, into the sort of last 15, 10 minutes of a game, you'd bank on the opposition scoring rather than Reading scoring. So the fact that we have now got, you know, 5 points from these last 3 games, having scored goals in the last 15 minutes is something to be encouraged by. But yeah, it's obviously frustrating that we find ourselves 1-0 down in the first place. I think obviously it was a must not lose game. I think ultimately the win was always going to be massive for Barnsley in terms of, you know, them winning 2 points of us. So I think for us it was always, yes, obviously it would have been massive to win the game, and you could almost sort of talk about, you know, one foot in, the championship next season, survival-wise, if Reading had won the game. But it was far more important just not to lose the game. So it felt like a massive, massive point. You know, we knew it was a massive game going into it, and it felt like a massive point in the end of it.
Yeah, and those late goals are really the things that make the difference in these relegation fights. Remember the Jose Gomez relegation fighting season not too long ago with the late goals against Wigan and Ipswich that ended up being the difference to keeping us up. And Barnsley, I mean, as I said in the intro, they have a shocking record of holding on to Leeds, lost 7 points in the last 5 minutes in the last 9 games. So that is the sort of thing that Reading need to come out on top of, having won a few points in the last 5 minutes recently. In terms of the, you know, the elephant in the room question for a lot of Reading fans after the game is, why did we wait until 70 minutes to care? Whether care is the right word or not is, you know, up to us as individuals. But really, I think the thing that Reading have struggled with in over the course of the season, be it Pavlovic or whatever, and even last season, was turning the tide in these sort of games. And it's interesting that we are kind of managing to do it now, despite actually the substitutions, which has been a bane of Reading fans for 18 months or so now, not really changing. We didn't really make any changes till that Tom Delibashiru came on with 12 minutes to go, and that was it for Barnsley. So I guess you have to say that it did work well, despite having Aziz and, well, not actually many other players on the bench to bring on. But Reading have managed to pull it out. That first 70 minutes, do we think it is a tactical thing? Do we think it's something that Reading are going out and being told to sit deep or whatever? Or is it just a mentality issue that this group of players is so talented, and yet we all know it's had mentality issues for a while now, dragging out some sort of positive mentality does require maybe them to be, you know, on the precipice of the abyss sort of thing? Or actually, was it just Barnsley sat too deep and let us onto them and we took advantage of it? There's a lot of factors that are at play here.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it's almost all of them, but also none of them at the same time. I think the key point there you mentioned is that ultimately this Reading side does have a lot of talented individuals in it. I said on the podcast last week, and I think Jim Carrachan nailed it on BBC Radio Berkshire after this Barnsley game as well, is that you just never know what version of this Reading team is going to turn up, not just for a game, but, you know, in different parts of a game, because, you know, they can look like the worst team in the division at some points. And for parts of Saturday's game, we you know, looked as if we were going to go straight down to League One. You know, as I say, you know, a loss would have been extra, you know, psychologically, I think, in terms of giving Barnsley a boost, and you know, Reading just, you know, suffering that loss. So we looked as if we were sort of doomed for relegation for bits of that game. But then you see the quality again. You know, the goal itself is actually a really well worked goal. You know, Michael Morrison popping up with an assist for Josh Laurent. He's now got 2 goals in 2 games, having not scored at all this season before Blackburn 2 weeks ago. So it's just a really, really confusing Reading team to watch. And I think to say that they're being told to do something, or, you know, that it's a tactical thing, is almost giving too much credit, not necessarily just to Paul Ince, but also to the players themselves. I think it's just one of these things where it's such a Jekyll and Hyde team that blows hot and cold. I'm not sure I've really ever seen anything quite like it from a Reading team, because ultimately we do know these players are very talented players. You know, Josh Laurent, Lucas Jou, John Swift, you know, Ogi Ajaria, you know, Danny Drinkwater finally sort of got his act together on Saturday and put in a brilliant performance. You know, where's that been hiding for, you know, the last 6 months? You know, this team, we've said it throughout the season that this team should be nowhere near the bottom three or anywhere near a relegation battle, because there is so much quality, but they haven't showed it anywhere near enough. And as I say, you know, that was almost a game in a microcosm on Saturday, where for such long parts of the game they didn't turn up, and for such long parts of the game it looked as if they were going to lose it. But then, you know, all it takes is that one moment, and then almost in the end, you know, we might win it, but then Barnsley have a good chance, and, you know, you need McIntyre to make a good block, and Nolan to make a good save. So you know, even at 1-1 and seemingly in the ascendancy, and you know, this team has found its feet and found its quality. Even still, then they managed to sort of let themselves down and allow Barnsley a chance. So it's just the most confusing Reading team to watch, really, because we know how good they can be, but you know, so often we see how bad they can be, and you know, ultimately it will probably just about get us over the line because we are able to show those moments of quality every so often. But it's, you know, it's why we're in the position we're in, is that we haven't shown that quality anywhere near enough this season.
Yeah, and I think for moving forward, and we don't need to dwell on this too much, but the long term or medium term even now of next season and hopefully being in the Championship, knowing we've known for months now of the wage situation, the FFP situation, the contract situation of players like John Swift and Josh Font are going to leave. That means that hopefully Reading have a plan to build a squad that probably is less talented, let's be realistic, but what we can lack in talent next season, hopefully we can bring in players that have got that mentality that they don't end up, you know, having to wait till the 70th minute's care and everything like that. And it just kind of switches it from a talented team that struggles mentality-wise to maybe next season, if we're lucky, we'll have a mentality strong team that struggles talent-wise or something like that. It's probably what I'd be looking at if I run the club at the moment. Final point then, before we hear from Paul Ince, is we are now, or we still are, 5 points clear of the drop zone. 7 games to go. I mean, looking at the run-in isn't too useful because it's silly season in the Championship. Barnsley can take points off of Fulham, etc. So can we. What do we need now to stay up? I would say 7 points. That would put us on a 41 would do it, because Hull on 41 and I don't think they're going to go down. That Barnsley, I mean, they might pluck 4 wins out of 6, but it really doesn't feel likely. I think 7 points will be ample.
Yeah, we spoke about this before the international break after the Blackburn game. We saw both, me and Adam both came to the conclusion that it was that probably 40 points would probably do it. And you know, that would be the lowest tally that the side has needed to survive in a Championship for over a decade, I think. So, yeah, I'd say 2 more wins would probably do it. I think there's a lot of talk that, you know, we can bring Hull back into it. Obviously, we've got a game in hand over Hull, and we've still got Hull to play. But I think ultimately, if we're, it's not a case of bringing Hull back into it. I think if we get, you know, close to Hull's points tally, or if we overtake Hull, then you know we're safe ourselves. It's not a case of dragging them into the relegation battle. So, yeah, look, it's a very, very healthy gap at the moment, I think, with 7 games to play. You know, we saw what Barnsley were about on Saturday, and you know, yes, they are a improved side from earlier in the season, and you know, they're as if they were down and out a few months ago, but they've sort of turned it around a little bit. I think Peterborough are gone. I've said that for quite a while now. You know, they're 8 points adrift of us, and you know, they look like, obviously, you know, they beat QPR before the international break, and maybe they're capable of sort of getting a couple of wins together, but I'm pretty sure Peterborough are out of it. It's always a tricky one with Derby. You know, again, before the weekend, I said they were probably out of it, but then they go and beat Preston. So it seems if you can never really write Derby off. But again, you know, they've played a game more than both Reading and Barnsley. I'd be surprised if they had enough Derby to string wins together to get themselves there. And then obviously that leaves Barnsley. So yeah, I don't want to say we're there. I think a win at the weekend, if we'd beaten Barnsley, that probably would have done it. But I think we're nearly there. I think, you know, 7 games left. I think if we win 2 of them, I think 40 points, as you say, should probably be enough. Yeah.
Well, we've got 2 winnable games at home this week, so imagine if it is done and dusted that quickly. The only other thing I would say is that for my own kind of moral sanity, I'd quite like us to finish within like 4 or 5 points at least of Hull. So when people say, oh, well, we're only staying up because of Derby's points deduction, we can kind of say, well, you know, our points deduction ourselves is the only reason we're behind Hull. Maybe that'll mean something on some sort of dimension. Probably not, though. But at least, you know, whatever the situation is, what other teams get, so long as Reading stay above the dotted line this season, that is what matters. And the man charged with doing that is Paul Ince. So let's hear from him now before we go into the mailbag.
I would say a tough-fought game. I thought we absolutely battered them, annihilated them. made a silly mistake defensively in position wise, and then they get the goal, first shot they've had. After that, it's one-way traffic. Standing there again, feel like I'm at Bournemouth, where we actually, you know, dominate the game, especially second half. Keep made put off a couple of great saves. Bournemouth fall to us, and then lo and behold, they could have even nicked it at the end. That would have been absolutely a crime. The lads show what they're all about today. We knew it was going to be a tough game. We come to Oakwell, you know what I mean? They're fighting for their lives. But, you know, there's more pressure on them today. They had to get 3 points. And, you know, we never felt that they were going to get that, because the more pressure we put on in the second half, we looked like we were creating chances. We were creating chances.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
So if you ever want to get your questions in to the Tilehurstend podcast, the mailbag is the place to do it, with the Twitter and the Facebook, always the places to go. And we also have the Tilehurstend at gmail.com for your inquiries, your questions, any kind of thoughts on the show, feedback, etc. We're always happy to hear it. Please keep it clean, of course. And Mateus has tweeted us in this week saying, if we continue to see small improvements to mentality and we stay up, does our interim manager deserve a crack at the job next year? Now, if we thought that Paul Ince was going to be sticking around long term when he first took on the job, we might well have thought that we'd be, you know, playoff form or something like that, for him to be justifying that sort of, you know, move forward with the team in such a short space of time. And he's only been here 5 weeks or so. And generally speaking, the form has been, you know, it's improved. It's been better than I think it's been under Paunovic. I think the defence has improved. The attack has kind of roughly been as it was anyway. Mentality, I'm not sure I see loads of improvements in that. As Mateo says, small improvements. So what do you think on the prospect of Ince staying? I would say that it's not something that I almost, no matter, even if we win the next 7 games, it's still not particularly something that I would want to go for. That it really would have to be that sort of special run between now and the end of the season to make me consider it.
Yeah, I mean, there is supposedly still a managerial search going on. You know, when Marko Paunovic was sacked and Paul Ince was put in interim charge, it was the case that Ince was, you know, here, you know, for the short term whilst the club searched for a new manager. You know, so we have to presume that search is going on. I think probably some people might have expected it. You know, Ince not to have been here now. I think, you know, when you send that message out that Ince is here as interim manager while the club look for a more permanent appointment, you know, we're still here 5-6 weeks down the line and Paul Ince is still here. And, you know, look, I'd be very surprised if, you know, he didn't take charge of the final 7 games, you know. But yeah, you have to hope something is happening for the summer. And I think two things can be true here. I think you can say that Paul Ince has improved Reading and that he's doing or has done a decent job. Look, it was abundantly clear that a change was needed, you know, and quite frankly, it couldn't get any worse really than what it had got under Velko Panovic. You know, 7 defeats, obviously, you know, the final game against Preston, but he'd already been sacked by that point. Essentially the day before, you know, so it couldn't really get any worse, you know, 7 defeats in a row, whatever it was under Velko Panovic. And that the change was always needed, and no one could really do any worse than Velko Panovic. So Paul Ince has improved things to that extent, and ultimately his remit coming in as interim manager was to keep Reading up. And as things stand, as we say, it looks as if that hopefully, you know, touch wood, will be achieved. You know, still not mathematically, but if Reading carry on the same trajectory, that will be achieved, and that ultimately will be Paul Ince's remit, you know, achieved. So on that basis, you'd say that he's done a good job. He's done what he came here to achieve. Ultimately, it probably wouldn't have been it's not been that difficult for him. Obviously, the team was on a very poor run of form, but it's not as if he needed, you know, some, you know, magic points tally to get Reading safe. You know, he's won 2 out of 7 games, and we're sitting here saying that Reading are nearly safe. You know, so it's not as if he's had to do loads of work. You know, he's not had to, he's had a very talented group of players to deal with. Their confidence was at rock bottom after Darko Panovic, but it's not as if he's had a poor squad to work with. He's not had to do that much. But as I say, at the same time, you have to give him credit for doing what he's come to achieve, and that is ultimately to achieve survival. And as I say, hopefully he can achieve that, and it looks as if he will achieve that. But is he a manager you want long term and to build a project around and to, you know, sort of give, you know, a vision to? You know, almost certainly not. You know, the same worries that that people had when Paul Ince was appointed interim manager, I think still apply. I'm not convinced he's the right fit for modern football. The comment about Reading needing to stop this tippy-tappy passing crap a couple of weeks ago was it baffled me, you know, particularly considering he said Reading played like Barcelona in his opening interview. And some of the other comments and some of the stuff he said about not listening to physios and that, it doesn't strike me as sort of the modern manager. And again, I'll caveat this by saying he's done a decent job in transforming, you know, sort of improving Reading from Darko Panovic. That wasn't that hard. As I say, I'm not convinced that he's the sort of manager. I've not seen enough sort of tactically wise, as I say, and stuff that he said and media wise that he's, you know, the right fit for as a long-term manager. You know, who else Reading can get in terms of financially wise and who would come, that's a different matter. But I think regardless of what Paul Ince has achieved over the last 5 weeks, and regardless what he will go on to achieve, as you say, it's going to take, you know, win the last seven games for him to fully drag people on side. But I think almost people have put up with Paul Ince for the last 5 weeks and will do for the rest of the season, on the basis that he's not going to be here next season. And so I'll go back to that club statement. He was appointed as an interim manager while the managerial search is going on. I think if they end up appointing him long-term, giving him a contract into next season and beyond, I don't think people are going to be very happy. And that's rightfully so. As I say, I don't think he's the right manager as a long-term boss. He's done a perfectly fine job in the short term, but there are some managers who are very good at that. In you know, doing what's needed to do. Paul Ince himself called it firefighting in an interview before he came to Reading, and he's essentially done just that. He's done what's needed to get Reading safe, but not for the long term for me.
See, my own reading of that initial statement was that it's kind of a little bit of, I don't know whether it's just badly worded, but I never was under the interpretation that he would be going during this run. And I think that he was going to be here until the end of the season, and supposedly this manager search is going on. I mean, you're right, if the manager search goes on, Paul Ince keeps us up having won another couple of games and then he gets given the job, then that manager search has failed, hasn't it? It's just not happened. So in my mind, the sensible thing that the club is doing is taking its time going through candidates now, contacting them, and maybe in reality probably a few of those candidates are going to say, I'll talk to you if you're staying up. Yeah, no one's going to take us seriously, or there'll be very different sort of candidates if we go down to if we stay up. So I'd imagine that in an ideal world, and generally speaking, these sort of things don't happen at Reading these days, but in an ideal world, a new Reading manager is currently saying to the club, you know, I'll have you if you stay up, and I want to be in charge of X, Y, and Z, and I want to build this and have a vision for the team that will be fitting with that of the owner, etc. And then on something like the day after the season ends, they'll be announced as the new manager. Thank Paul Ince, on his way and everything, and that'll be that. And as I say, chances of that happening, not the sort of things that happen at Reading Football Club these days, sadly. As for Paul Ince himself, I mean, I quite like the way that he speaks sometimes. We heard it earlier in the show when he said after the Barnsley game, we annihilated them and all that sort of stuff. And it just kind of amuses me. It's very old school, and it does, I know what you mean, it doesn't really suit modern managers. I'd probably just about rather have Paul Ince talking like that than Nigel Atkins talking like he did. So maybe that's just the lesser of two evils, but I don't know. I've warmed to him to an extent. I'm pleased that he is doing the job that he's doing, but that, you know, ultimately it's not a job that I think Reading Football Club have to know in the next 2-3 years what they want to achieve. That's going to be obvious. They're still going to think about promotion, how they want to achieve it, what sort of manager they want to achieve it with, and how they want to go about it. And I'm not talking about playing style or DNA or anything like that. I honestly don't really care what sort of manager we get in that sense. But outside of the off the pitch, rather, are we going to get a coach who just gets given a set of players by, you know, a shadowy figure in the corner who does all our transfers or whatever, that sort of deal? Are we going to get a manager who comes in and does all of the transfers himself and directs the scouting and stuff? Or are we going to get something in between? And I think the club needs a manager, someone who can deliver a lot of off-the-pitch stuff, use contacts, etc., to create a club and create a squad from scratch. We all know that Paul Ince isn't that person. I don't know whether you, Ollie, think that that's the sort of manager they need or not.
Yeah, I think that's what every club wants, isn't it? You know, every club wants someone to build a vision around. You know, I always go back, you know, look, everybody wants what Leeds had with Marcelo Bielsa. Everybody wants, you know, and Reading had that to a degree with Steve Coppell and Brian McDermott. You know, where you have that man, where that man is the club, and the club is that man. They are interchangeable. You know, you want somebody who has that vision. I think people obviously want a clear playing style. You know, and that's why Jaap Stam had his admirers even when Reading were on a horrific run, is that he gave Reading an identity, and you know, combined with Brian Tevreden behind the scenes. And that was probably the last sort of semblance Reading had of some sort of identity and some sort of long-term plan and long-term vision. And, you know, obviously Ron Gourley comes in and destroys that. But I think that's what people want. You know, that's what every football fan wants ultimately, that they want something they can say that this is my club, you know, this is mine, this is what we do that's unique, or this is what we do that works. You know, you look at clubs that have gone up, you know, Brentford, you know, Norwich, they've all got, you know, they've got these models that fans can attach themselves to, and that, you know, get admirers from the outside as well. And I think every fan wants that. And yeah, it's clear to me that I don't think Paul Ince is that sort of manager. You know, it's a very, very different job. It's almost a drastically different job, you know, opposite ends of the scale, really, from coming in and firefighting and saving a team with 15 games or whatever left of the season, you know, compared to building for a 46 game season and beyond and more. You know, you look at Paul Ince's CV, and that's historically where it's gone wrong for him, where he's come in and done all right to begin with. He's given sides a bit of a managerial bounce. He's kept clubs up, or whatever. He's done well in the short term, but when it gets into the long term, he's not got that vision, and he can't sustain runs of form. So yeah, I think every fan wants that, you know, figurehead they can pinpoint to their club. Whether the owners want Paul Ince to be that man, I don't know. What I do worry about is that if, you know, Paul Ince does keep Reading up, you know, quite comfortably, which is entirely possible if Reading go and win, you know, three of their last seven games, where it is entirely possible that the Reading end up staying up by, you know, 6-7 points, whatever, you know, what hopefully doesn't happen, you know, is Paul Ince gets ideas above his station, or, you know, the owners think, oh yeah, he's definitely the right man for the job long term now. You know, we saw that with Mark Bowen, a good run, you know, can force the owner's hand to a certain degree, and they give him a long-term contract. So I hope that doesn't happen, because, yeah, I'm not convinced that Paul Ince is, you know, is that figurehead that everybody wants as a football club manager.
Yeah, no, I think I'd agree on that. The only other question this week for the mailbag is Alan West, friend/occasional guest on the show, saying, is Westy still top of the prediction league? Well, we'll find out that in just a little bit. Let's do some news bites first, and then we'll round off the show with big match preview.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
Quick run through the other teams of Reading FC for this week. The women unfortunately suffered a heavy 5-0 defeat to Chelsea on Sky Sports. Kind of a good first half, not so good second half, was what the manager was saying. That leaves them eighth with 3 games to go. Still a good chance for top half finish, though. West Ham, Leicester and Man City left. So, you know, 2 wins out of 3 or something like that out of those games is very plausible, and also would leave a decent end to the season. It's been a bit of a
bit of a roller coaster season for Reading FC women. Unfortunately, they're kind of on one of those dips at the moment. So we'll see if they can wrestle that back to a rise for the end of the season. The under-23s, then our bottom of Premier League 2, Division 2, 1-1 draw with West Brom. They're actually playing on Monday the 11th next up with MK Dons in the Barks and Bucks semi-final. That's 7:30 kickoff at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. So a local derby to an extent there. The finest of Barks, going against each other for semi-final. It's Monday the 11th of April, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. And the under-18s with a 2-1 defeat to Spurs leaves them 10th in the Premier League South. They've got Villa on the 9th. Right then, Reading have Stoke on the 5th. It's 8 p.m. at Select Car Leasing Stadium. Let's get into big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Stoke then, Ollie. They're a bit of a classic championship team, really. Bit of a good start to the season. They kind of thought they might be in amongst the playoff mix. 10 points off it now, though, so that's not going to happen. Well clear of the relegation zone in 13th. They're back-to-back home wins. That's how they come into the game. 1 defeat in 5, but they've not won on the road since January the 16th. So certainly the sort of team that Reading can get at, and they'll certainly come into this game thinking they can move towards ending the season on a high with a result against a lowly team. Bit of team news then. No Tom Ince in this one because he's on loan from Stoke. Paul Ince did want to have him playing, but with Liam Moore injured, Stoke said there's no way that's going to happen. Junior Hoylett probably will return. He missed his connection flight home from Canada duty. So he missed the Barnsley game and should be in contention, as will Femi Aziz, who was on the bench for Barnsley. So there are replacements available. But I imagine Ollie will be pretty straightforward in a game that it's just a classic Tuesday night game against Stoke, the very championship sort of game. And that means that ultimately Reading, it really feels to me like they're just as likely to turn up and win this one and grind it out as they are to turn up and just kind of, you know, play a bit of a boring game and draw 0-0 or lose 1-0 or something.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, you really have no idea which Reading team is going to turn up, really. Even during the game, it might well go similar to Bournemouth and Barnsley, where Reading play terribly and might go a goal down, and they clawed themselves back into the game. That wouldn't surprise me at all. It's definitely a game that I think I probably, when we did sort of the analysis of the run-in a few weeks ago, I pinpointed this game as a win purely on the basis that A, it's at home, and yes, I know Reading's home form has not exactly been amazing this season, but it is at home. And it's against a side with nothing to play for. You'd almost rather play a side like Stoke at this point in the season than you would a Barnsley or a Derby. Yes, obviously those games are chances to take points off your rivals, but they're going to be much more fired up for the game than a side like Stoke will be. Obviously they have won 2 games in a row. I think before that they went without winning 9 games. So. They also blow hot and cold. They're always one of those sides, ever since they've come down from the Premier League, really, where they're always sort of tipped to be in and around the top 6 at the start of the season. And, this season, to begin with, it looked as if it might finally be happening for them. But again, they drop off. So it's definitely a winnable game. So they haven't got anything to play for. There's no excuse for Reading to be less motivated than Stoke. As I say, we've got a really decent run of fixtures now. Cardiff at home on the weekend as well. There's definitely 6 points there for the taking. You wouldn't say that Reading would be underdogs in either of these next 2 home games against sides with nothing to play for. There's 6 points down the line, and if Reading get those 6 points, we were saying earlier, that takes them on to 40, and that's then pretty much safe. So safety could be secured almost, not mathematically, but psychologically at least, in the next week if Reading can get 2 wins. So I'm going into the game with a bit of optimism. I think we're unbeaten in 3 now, which I think is you know, that's not happened very often this season. So there's a bit of momentum there, particularly with the late goals and everything. So yeah, I think there's reason to be optimistic. Hopefully Lewis Baker plays for Stoke. I know he's a slight injury doubt. He didn't play at the weekend, but it'd be nice to give him a good reception, you know, although no Reading fans will probably boo him. So but it'd be nice to see him back at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. But yeah, I'm optimistic that we can get at least a point from the game, I think, and if not a win.
Well, yeah, I'll certainly give Lewis Baker a clap, although I don't really want him to play because he's on cracking form for Stoke, just as well as also that Liam Moore isn't playing because he's still under contract for Reading and still is next season, and he would probably end up getting booed, wouldn't he? So that wouldn't be a very good look for anyone. So, yeah, I mean, let's catch up for the prediction lead before we round off the show then. It's been a few weeks where we haven't really caught everyone up, so there's been a handful of Forest defeats that we all predicted. No one got any Bournemouth draws. Sim was the only person with a Blackburn win, so there's quite a lot of pessimism for that. Ollie, Adam and Westy all picked up Barnsley 1-alls, and they're the top three, funnily enough. Westy's on 28, Ollie 26, Adam 25, Sim 19, myself and Handbags 18, with Ben on 16. So, Ollie, what are you going to say for predicting this Stoke game?
As I say, I'm feeling quite optimistic. I'll go for a win. I think we'll concede, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Reading win, I think.
See, I had written down 2-1 before you said that. And as you started saying the sentence, I knew you were leaning towards a 2-1. And it really does feel kind of like that Birmingham game that we had a few weeks ago. That ended 2-1, didn't it? So, yeah, I agree. It feels like the sort of night that Reading, Lucas Shouds, John Swift, only really takes one of them turning up and having a good game to get a couple of goals in against these sort of teams. But, yeah, I mean, let's face it, the chance of us keeping a clean sheet, it does feel fairly slim. And then we have got the Cardiff game on Saturday, which we will be back after. That's just fundamentally a game we should be winning. I did watch the highlights of their 4-0 defeat at home to Swansea on the weekend. Kind of feel like we maybe wanted to have played them that weekend rather than next weekend, but there we go. Definitely a team with its feet up, looking towards next season as a bit of a clean slate. So Reading for this one, yeah, I just think ultimately have to turn up, do the basics right, and actually get on the gas, ideally before the 70th minute, and start strongly. So hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks talking about a couple of big wins. I also do wonder, Ollie, the chances of us, if we do get these couple of wins and are effectively safe, the chances of the final five games us just taking our foot off the pedal being awful again does feel rather high chance of that. Maybe we won't come to that. But as always, Ollie, thank you very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
And we will be back after that Cardiff game. But Stoke first on Tuesday night, a chance for Reading to build out a big gap between itself and the relegation zone. Crucially, Barnsley not in action on Tuesday night. So a chance, really big psychological boost it'll be to get the win against Stoke before we go into the Cardiff game. Hopefully we'll be talking in a week's time with Reading sitting pretty, quite far away from the relegation zone. Until then, come on your arse.
You smile, funny how the crumbs always leave a trail.